painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on Artbeat, we feature KCAP's Cross of Spring Grove, Minnesota. Working mostly in black and white and in a variety of sizes, Cross manages to mix the old tradition of quilt making with her own personal aesthetic. In addition to making her own quilts, Cross teaches classes and has published 4 books based on her quilting designs and techniques.
I'm Kay Capps Cross, and I live in Spring Grove, Minnesota. I'm a quilt designer and author and teacher, and I design quilts, write books about them, and travel the country and teach people my methods and try to teach them to quilt without any stress.
Tell me about what originally got you into quilting.
I have been sewing all my life. I had to make all my own clothes, well, not all of it, but make a lot of my clothes when I was young and make my prom dresses. So instead of going for clothing shopping in the fall, we'd go fabric shopping. So I've always sewn, and my grandmother was a quilter. When I had my first niece and nephew born, I decided I wanted to make them quilts. So I kind of dabbled in it, but left it until I walked into a quilt shop when my girls were young, and I was looking for interfacing to make them matching dresses. And I didn't even realize that there was such a thing as a quilt shop. And walked in, and I was just mesmerized. So I never left.
That's wonderful. Tell me about your style. I know you do mostly black and white.
I do. I love black and white. The first quilt that I ever made in black and white was some trees, winter pines. And as soon as I made that quilt, it was like my creativity just went a different direction. And I saw all the possibilities that there were and all the questions I could answer by working only in black and white. I find it very challenging and very fun. Seems like it would be a lot simpler because you eliminate color, so you think, well, you've only got black and you've only got white, that's got to be easy. But it's actually quite difficult because black is never black and white is never white.
And how do you incorporate other colors into it?
I like to put just one other color that I call a zinger, just to pop it. I'm not really fond of just black and white quilts. I think they need something to make them dance, and just that little spot of color does that for them.
What kind of challenges or advantages do you find using the black and white color palette?
The challenge is trying to get the look of something you can get with color in black and white, because black and white, you can assume you're going to have really high contrast. If you're working in color, you reduce that contrast a whole lot by melding different colors, and I don't put gray in, so I don't have that middle spot. So the challenge is finding fabrics and prints that can fill all of those value steps without color. Mm-hmm. So that becomes really challenging and really fun, too. You asked me an advantage, too, and I didn't really answer that. An advantage is that my designs tend to be very sparse and angular, and using the black and white really shows just the design then. It really shows it off, mm-hmm. and it becomes a quilt so much more about the design than about how it's put together or who put it together. It's the design.
And where does the inspiration for your designs come from?
Everywhere. It might be the salad I had for lunch. It might be something my kids said. It might be a sunset. It might be the trees that I love in Wisconsin. I do a lot of tree quilts. I'm just in love with all of the different kind of pine trees that we see in Wisconsin, so I do a lot of those. So it's just, they're all about my life. And each quilt has a story that goes along with it that connects either to something in my life or someone in my life or something I've seen. So there's always a tale that you can kind of wrap around the quilt as well.
How do you choose your fabrics?
I audition them and I lay them out and I look at them and look at them and I wait to pick the final ones until I close my eyes and open them, and when it just grabs me, I know it's where I want it to be. If it doesn't grab me, I'm not done.
Do you go out to fabric stores and buy them, or mm-hmm. do you do recycled?
I do some recycling. I use clothing in there. I use, some of them have silk shirts and other things out of my closet. I also go to fabric shops. I love to go to local stores and find black and white fabrics. I'm also really lucky in that some fabric companies will send me fabric to play with, and they'll either say, I need you to do this with it, or when I'm really lucky, I get to go select the fabrics that I want them to send to me, and then I get to play with them.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, I'm spoiled. Really spoiled.
When you design your patterns, do you have a certain one that you go to more often, or do you make them up as you go along?
You mean in terms of what kind of pattern I'm going to do?
Or yeah.
What style? Okay. It's dictated exactly by what the idea is or what I want to get across. If I'm doing trees, I'm most likely going to do my foundation piecing methods because I want the angles and the points. There was a period of time right after my grandmother passed away, the one that was a quilter, that I was doing a whole lot of stuff very traditionally. So I was doing a lot with 4 patches, 9 patches. I think it was just a way of working through being without her and going towards those old-fashioned traditional quilting methods and working through things that way. So it kind of depends on what the design is, what I want it to say, and what it's doing for me.
Sure. You said foundation patching. What yeah. is foundation patching?
Foundation piecing is taking, in the old times they would use newspapers or something like that, and you would lay your fabrics on it and sew your fabrics to the foundation, and you'd have lines on it so that you could follow that line. It would be like, I would have a piece of paper, or in my case I use this sheer foundation, and I would have this cut out, and it would be backwards, and it would have this letter on it, and I would, it's kind of like paint by number, but fabric by number, and then you kind of sew it and flip it and sew it and flip it and trim everything up. There's a really hard way to do that called paper piecing that's kind of annoying to me. So I developed this foundation piecing method so I could leave everything in, and it's simpler and it's no stress.
Do you make it up as you go along sometimes?
Yes. Sometimes the idea is already all formulated in my head. Mm-hmm. I don't really draw it or put it down on paper first. I'm usually not successful doing that. Don't feel as good doing it that way usually. If it's all formulated, it's all formulated in my head, and then I just work it out. Sometimes they'll have a life of their own, which there's a quilt, the purple roosters over there. You know, you said I do black and white, and that's what I do. And in this last book, I wanted that rooster in there, and I wanted to frame it all in black and white piecing. Well, it fought me, and it fought me, and it fought me, and everything I did didn't work until I made it in color. And then it worked. So sometimes the idea in my head has to be put to the side because I'm trying to force something that I want to do mm-hmm. on something that doesn't want to be made.
So tell me about your books. You have a couple published?
I have 4 books published. Yep, they're all black and white. The first one is kind of an overview of the types of things I do. It's called Black and White Quilts by Design, and it gives you a little taste of my foundation piecing. It has some traditional piecing, and in it I talk a lot about my fabric choices and what I look for and how to build a stash of black and white. So kind of a primer to work with black and white. And then the second book is on gardens, a black and white garden. And in that book I had a lot of fun because I created every quilt in black and white and then I recreated it in color. So in the book you got a taste of both choices because not all of us like just black and white. And that was a lot of fun for me to play with color too. Then the third book is strictly devoted to my foundation piecing technique. So it starts from very, very easy quilts to not hard quilts to still not hard quilts at the end. Kind of builds your skill level going through it and teaches you exactly how I do it with lots of pictures to give everybody, you know, a good comfort level on using that method without taking a class from me, which is the best way to do it. It's always most fun to learn something new in a class.
And your final book?
Yes, my last book that just came out is on panels. There are a lot of commercial pre-printed panels out now, and what do you do with them? You know, I had some in my closet that are left over from, I don't know, the 80s, the 70s. I have a Little Orphan Annie one and a Walrus one, these things that you used to sew together to make pillows, and you guys are way too young to know that, but you used to buy these little panels that were a front and a back, and you'd sew them together. Well, I took those out of the closet and thought, what can I do with them? How can I put them in a quilt that serves my style and does something with these panels? So I came up with all of these designs using either those old retro pillow forms or using a commercial panel that's brand new. One of the different things about this book is that I talk about why I design it the way I do. So I go into things like the Fibonacci sequence and a frame, using more weight on the bottom and how to measure that and how I calculated this. So it's not technically difficult, but it just kind of opens the door to my head, what I was thinking, how did I do this? So anybody that buys a panel, if it's not exactly the size of what's in the book, they could still figure out something neat to do with it, because I give them the tools to figure that out.
How do you like to start a quilt?
Get all my fabrics out. I like to get the fabrics out and make a mess. I have to have a mess before I start. So I need all of the fabrics around me that I'm going to use. And then I start digging in and cutting them. And I try to discipline myself to cut everything first, but that usually doesn't work because I get too excited. I want to see something. So I cut some up and sew some together quick so I can see a part of it.
And you have a variety of sizes. You have smaller ones and larger ones.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
When I first started quilting, I made big Mahefa quilts. I couldn't get them big enough. I would start and they would grow and they would grow and they would grow because I loved what I was doing, I think, and I wanted it really, really big. And as I've gone along, I still make some really big quilts, but they've kind of gotten smaller and smaller. I seem to be able to work through whatever I want to work through or get to whatever I'm trying to do or whatever picture I'm trying to show in a smaller palette now than I could before. So my canvas has kind of shrunk as I've gone along.
Because when I usually think of quilts, I think of large blankets. So these kind of look more like little pieces of art.
Exactly, which I had somebody walk by me. I do some trade shows and some different shows where I will have a booth and have all my quilts hanging. And a woman walked by my booth and she was talking to her girlfriend, and she didn't want me to hear this, but she paid me one of the nicest compliments she ever could have, even though she was kind of stabbing me. She walked by and said to her friend, you know, these are not quilts, that's art. I thought, all right, good. So she gets me, even though she doesn't like me.
What do you get out of quilt making?
Oh, I get everything. I get so much. I get joy, I get pleasure, I get to create, I get to write, I get to travel, I get to teach, I get to do all of these things that I absolutely love just because I sew some pieces of fabric together. Yeah, I get everything. When I started making black and white quilts, it was at a time in my life when I wasn't really seeing color anyway, so had I pulled color, I probably wouldn't have seen it. So it also gave me pretty much my life back in that respect too.
What do you hope others take from your quilts?
A little piece of joy. That's all I want. You know, I create them for me, and there's nothing that pleases me more than if someone looks at my quilt and likes it as well. That's amazing. So if they smile, it's worth everything.
Has there ever been a quilt you didn't want to give up?
Yeah. I don't have any quilts hanging here for sale, because it's really hard for me to give any of them up. I do give quilts away. When I make it with the intent to give it away, I have no problem giving it away at all, none whatsoever. But when I create these and they're something that's either really special or it's something about my kids, or then I just kind of keep stockpiling them. And the excuse I use is that I need them for my lectures, which is true. I do need them, but probably not all of them.
Tell me a little bit about your teaching.
What I teach is a variety of things. I teach everything from your basic beginning quilting, just how do you do it, how do you use a rotary cutter, do all of that, to different kinds of techniques. So I would teach like maybe a 9-patch class. I teach a class called Quilt for Joy. It's finding a little piece of creativity in yourself without getting scared of that word, be creative. You know, those two words, when you say them to people, they kind of go, they're afraid of that. So this class is playing. You saw I had crayons, I have markers. We're gonna just play with some things to try and free up that part of us. So that's one of the things I teach. I also do lectures on working in a series. I do a lot of quilts in a series. So they're either based on a certain idea or a certain block that I'm manipulating. So I give that lecture. I give a lecture on Goddess of Light, which is one quilt that I made that I just keep making. It was a quilt that when I first made it was blue and it had little tiny pieces of yellow in it. And I called it There's Light at the End of the Tunnel? Question mark. And my girlfriend said, I don't think that's a very good name. They said, if you ever want to teach this or sell this pattern, you're going to have to rename it. So I wasn't able to rename it. I couldn't come up with anything, but my girlfriend said, how about Goddess of Light? When she renamed it, it was like, oh, okay, it took on a whole new life, and I have recreated that simple design over and over and over again just to figure out different puzzles or different things that I want to express. So that's a class that I teach where the student gets that design, and that's just their starting point. So we play, and they develop it however they want to develop it.
So they can take different connotations from it.
Exactly, exactly. That's always my hope when I teach a class. I teach my methods and the way I look at things and how to choose fabrics, but then if they take my design and take it their own direction, that's for me what it's all about when I teach.
Where would you suggest a beginner start?
A beginner should start by finding your local quilt shop first. That's the first thing. And then look at their list of classes and find a beginner class and take a beginner class. It's so much easier and more enjoyable to do it in that type of setting than to get home to buy all your supplies, take it home and be like, what do I do? It's so much more fun, and you'll be so much more successful if you take it in a quilt shop in that type of setting, or community ed. I'm going to offer it through community ed here in the winter. So anything like that where you can take a class to be with other people to learn it will really help you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say we haven't yet touched on?
No, just if anybody wants to know how to quilt, it's easy and it's so fun and it can enrich your life just tremendously.
Thanks again to Kay Capps Cross for her interview. Tune in next Tuesday afternoon at 12:30 for more insight from local artists right here on ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.